Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies. Held on select Fridays in May, each film touches upon artist Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, kicking off with Pan's Labyrinth by Guillermo del Toro on May 10th at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a spring super sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us today. It's legislation in Sacramento that would allow the state of California to establish its own bank. BankCal is what it would be called, the first state government program in the nation to offer universal consumer banking. We're going to talk about the pros and cons of the idea, but it's very directly aimed at Californians who, for a variety of reasons, might find it too challenging to bank at a bank that's available now. Either the cost because of fees for the services or just the lack of access to ATMs or to the bank itself. Joining us is Joswarup Bawa, who is organizing campaign director for the California Reinvestment Coalition, which works on behalf of the banking needs of communities of color and low-income Californians. Thank you very much, Ms. Bawa. We appreciate your being with us. How would this bank work? Would it be making loans or just offering just services for people to be able to bank cash and withdraw it?
Good morning, Larry. Good to be with you. BankCal is a no-fee, no-penalty debit account supporting low-wage workers with a mandate on employers to facilitate direct deposit when requested into the account. The features include a debit card, automatic bill pay capacity, and free ATM access at participating banks. Essentially, it's a program being modeled after Cal Savers.
Yeah, and given that ATM access, I know, is one of the issues, it wouldn't seem that this would address that, because unless would the state be looking at installing its own ATMs in communities underserved by banks?
No, not at all. Actually, we envision a partnership with existing infrastructure, so banking industry and even the emerging financial tech companies, to work together to provide access to services. So we're not expecting any new brick and mortar branches that the government would be putting up or ATMs that will need installment.
What about the fees that those banks charge? Because typically it's charged, you know, by the owner of the ATM and then by the individual's bank. You get fees on both sides. So in this case, would the bank that takes part in Cal Bank that offers the ATM waive its fee, or would the state pick up that cost?
That's a good question. So what we envision is that the state program would actually incentivize existing banks and the ATM companies to actually provide no-cost services to customers while recovering those costs with other services. So the merchant swipe fees and card purchases would make up for some of the costs that otherwise the companies would get from customers.
Now, I thought that credit unions that are, of course, nonprofit and chartered here in California, that one of the missions that they have is to provide very low fee or in some cases no fee banking for people. How is it the credit unions have not been able to fill this gap?
You know, there's just not enough of them. The banking industry, which, you know, leaves room for credit unions to even exist, but there's been a long history of racialized underserving of low-income population and communities, such that even today in white neighborhoods, there are about 50 banks to every 100,000 residents, whereas in people of color communities, there's only half as many banks. So what we're expecting is that this program would actually provide an incentive for several different providers to work together. And it could include, credit unions, as you list out, but not just credit unions, but you know, several different providers working together so that the access for people, you know, is equal in all neighborhoods.
We're talking with Joe Swarup Bawa, who is with the California Reinvestment Coalition, which supports this legislation, which would create a California bank, CalBank, that would provide services, no fee, available for lower income Californians. Also with us from USC, Professor of Finance and Business Economics, Rodney Ramcharan. Professor, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
How would you see this state bank fitting in with other banks and credit unions, and what sorts of sort of working together agreements would it require?
Well, I think it's a challenging fit. So I think the problem is definitely real. I think the poorer parts of the state, they're systematically underbanked. And I think this is one way to try to solve that problem. I'm not convinced that it's the most effective way to do it. Because as you pointed out, there are institutions like low-income credit unions that are currently allowed to serve underbanked places, and they can do so at low fees and at low costs. And I think an additional advantage to bringing in banks and these types of institutions is that they can also make loans. And I think a key part of the gap in access to credit is not just the high cost of banking or the high fees, but it's also the constrained access to credit. Can people get loans to tide themselves through if something goes wrong? So I think a broader approach would perhaps be a better way to deal with this problem.
On the loan front, which this legislation doesn't establish state lending to people, as I understand, that is something that the city of Los Angeles has proposed bank would do, is make loans. You know, what, since there is a tremendous need for that in underbanked communities, is there a way for cities or states to do that, but to not be taking huge risks in approving loans like that? How would they balance out? Because obviously the commercial banks, the retail banks, their job is to, you know, make loans that are going to make money. If they're concerned about risk in lower income communities and government takes that on, is there going to be a serious risk of default?
Yeah, I think to have the government be directly involved in making these loans would be a difficult thing. I think we currently have a system in place whereby the Treasury at the federal level provide incentives to credit unions. In fact, they're called low-income credit unions, and they come in and they are allowed, they get grants from the government, and they come into neighborhoods and they are allowed to make loans and to get the deposits from the neighborhoods as well as outside. And I think that kind of approach, where we use the private sector, where we use the nonprofit sector to come in and help solve these kinds of problems, I think that's potentially a more effective and a safer way to get things done than if the government were to directly be involved in trying to make these loans.
I think, though, that one of the main points about the state doing this, instead of having for-profit banks or nonprofit credit unions, is the contention that many of the reasons that these communities aren't served is because of bias, because of not giving proper due to businesses and to residents in those communities who might not have the paper trail of people who have greater opportunities, but who have the high character and the work ethic that they're going to pay back those loans, and that banks and credit unions aren't giving them a shot. So if it's not the government, how do you provide that opportunity to those individuals in those communities that can use some capital, can use some investment, and that are going to be repaying those loans?
Yeah, so I think that's a real problem. So I think a history of bias has been there, and that's partly why we see an absence of credit in these places. In every intervention, there's a trade-off. So if the government steps in the short run, they could potentially solve the problem of credit access, but then it creates additional problems. And we need to be careful that in solving one problem, we don't then cause a whole host of new things to happen. And so my intuition and people have studied these kinds of problems extensively, and we generally come up on the side that the evidence generally seems to point to that when the government gets involved in the allocation of credit, even when it's a worthy cause, things don't always work out the way that we intended it to. And so the risks seem to weigh against the idea that the government should directly be involved, with the emphasis on the word as a direct lender. I think it can be involved in different ways.
And I just want to clarify, CalBank would not be a direct lender. This legislation doesn't do that. I was just talking more broadly about that concept because the need exists. We're talking with USC Professor of Finance and Business Economics, Rodney Ramcharan. Also joining us is Jack Humphreyville, who is a member of Neighborhood Council Budget Advocates. He's a commentator on local and state budget and political matters, and a contributor to the online publication City Watch. Jack Humphreyville, good to have you back with us on Air Talk. Your thoughts about the state of California providing this consumer banking to underbanked neighborhoods?
Well, first of all, I think it's not a bank. It's a payment system, you know, not dissimilar to something like PayPal or Venmo or whatever that deal is that Bank of America has that begins with a Z.
Zelle or whatever, yeah.
And it has, you know, so it doesn't have any assets. It's basically a computer system where you can move money around. And I guess my issue is, I mean, I agree with the, you know, serving the unbanked and the underbanked population of California, and in particularly the city of Los Angeles. But the thing just doesn't. I don't know what the economics of it are. And my biggest issue here is that this is going to be a technology intensive system. You have to develop the system. It's going to be complicated because you're moving lots of money around. You have a couple hundred thousand or 100,000 people doing X number of transactions per day or per week. It can get very, very complicated. And the state has from my perspective, has a terrible track record in developing systems. You look at EDD, the mess they have there. You look at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Those are two pretty good examples of where the computer technology that the state has is just a disaster area. So you have one, the whole issue of developing this thing. Now, Margaret Roosevelt's article in the LA Times a couple of days ago, which, by the way, was, I thought, a very good article, you know, said that it was going to cost $5 million to develop this thing. I think that would be exceptionally just doesn't smell right. I would imagine it would be significantly more than that. So then you have the development costs, and then you're going to have the operating expenses. And if it's a no fee deal, which let's say you agree with, that means you're going to get all the money out of the merchants. Well, you know, are the merchants going to pay to the state of California or to the payment system? They use MasterCard or Visa or whomever they use. Are they going to be willing to give money back to the state to, you know, handle this system? So I think, you know, my concern here is, you know, one, it's going to be expensive to develop. Two, it might be a money loser. Mm-hmm. Third thing is that the state is asking the state is being a guinea pig. There's nobody else that's done this. And, you know, it might be, you know, if we could find somebody else who's done it, or maybe they contract with PayPal or one of these other, you know, big companies where the state, you know, cuts a deal with them so that our underbanked and unbanked get debit free or fee free.
But of course, California considers itself as, setting the pace nationally and has often done that. Let me go back to California Reinvestment Coalition campaigns director, Joswarup Bawa. Ms. Bawa, your response to this issue that Jack raises, that that California hasn't shown itself competent of running something like this that's tech heavy.
Actually, that's not true at all. We've seen a lot of success with the CalSavers program. That's a program that helps people who do not have access to a retirement saving accounts have an access independent of their employer's participation. More recent than that, another program was launched called CalKids. It's another program that allows people to save money for their children's future needs. And those programs are a success. So this program would also utilize some of the infrastructure that exists statewide, and we think it would be a success. We only just need, there are approximately 3.6 million low-income, unbanked, and underbanked adults in California. That's FDIC data. And a participation rate of 25% within this target population would be close to 880,000 accounts, and that would make this program revenue neutral. Participation rate of just 10% is 4,000 accounts, and that would get this program to be revenue neutral. And 25% actually would get it to be in a place where expansion could happen.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Bawa. We appreciate it very much. California Reinvestment Coalition in support of this state bill that would establish CalBank for unbanked or underbanked lower income Californians as a way for them to be able to save cash, pull it out for their purchases. Debit card would be linked as well. Also, my thanks to USC Professor of Finance and Business Economics, Rodney Ramcharan, and my thanks to Jack Humphreyville, who writes for City Watch and is a member of the Neighborhood Council Budget Advocates. When we come back, the seminal year for California, 1974. Journalist Ronald Brownstein writes about it in his new book, Rock Me on the Water, the year Los Angeles transformed movies, music, television, and politics, back in 90 seconds.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.